Which highlights the Gidim Koshe Kegidim, very harsh tone, and Hashem emphasized Ki Shofet Ani, and after Shofet Anochi, as we pointed out based on the Malbim, and Pasuk Yud Gimel Ki Shofet Ani, Hashem says, "This is me on the Kisei Hadin," as the Shofet vis-a-vis Eli and his family. And therefore I added a Lashon Shvua. Once it's a Shvua, that's it. You can no longer take it back. However, as we pointed out, as the Mefarshim highlights, you can't use the typical means of Zevach HaMincha, of the Karbonos, but of course, Ayyadei Tefillah, there's always a way of circumventing. But Eli understood, as we will see, that there was nothing more he could do at this time. What about Shmuel's response? That's what we're holding today. Pasuk Tezvav. Vayishkav Shmuel ad haboker. Shmuel goes back. Does he go back to sleep or does he go back to lie down? We don't really know. He fell back asleep. What we do see though is Vayishkav. The same Lashon, if we flip back to Pasuk Gimel, if you head to Perek Gimel, Pasuk Gimel, what did we read over there? V'ner Elokim Terem Yechbeh, who Shmuel Shochev, Shochev where? Bimakomo. He went to go lie down. Alav Davka, did he fall asleep, but he went to go lie down? Here now, Vayishka Shmuel, but I think that there's a parallel going back to that place as well, as we will see in the ensuing words in this pasuk. He went back to doing his avoda. It's the same Vayishka Shmuel that we read back earlier in Pasuk Gimel, Shmuel Shochev. Where is he sleeping? He understands his sleeping. His Malkum Yeshiva, his Malkum Shiva. Where is his place of dwelling? That's where he dwells, and that's where he went back to sleep. I think it's here not just to tell us that in Vayishkov, he went back to lie down. He went back to lie down, Vayiftach, and he went back to his regular work, to his regular service. It's the same Shmuel, even though you might think his entire life changed. Hey, well, this is great. I'm a Novi Hashem. He was just given his very first prophecy. It's Kelit to a little bit of Gaiva. But we know that once you have the Gaiva, you lose the Nevuah. Nedarim Lamed Chesem Aleph, the prophecy of Hashem, only rests on a person when he or she is an Onav. So I think the Pasuk is highlighting that he just got the first Nevuah from Hashem, and what does he do? He goes back to life. What do you mean? Let him jump for joy. Let him call up his parents. Mom, you should know I'm a Navi. I'm a Navi. Send out letters to his friends. Let the world know. What does he do? He hears the Nevuah, and he goes right back to sleep. Now, you're right. He doesn't mamish fall back asleep. How in the world could you fall back asleep? That's what the Klei Yoker points out. It doesn't say, Vayishan Shmuel, ki nadad asheinu ma'inav. There's no way after God speaks to you, and especially when it was in the context of such a harsh, severe Nevuah, vis-a-vis your own Rebbe, your lifelong mentor, and the Gon Hadar, you know he's not falling asleep. Elva Yishkov, Shriva Mitoso Levad. So why did he even go back to lie down? The Klei Yoker says, Kadesh Lo Yargish Eli, because he didn't want Eli to know. So he didn't want Eli to suspect that anything was different. That's what the Klei Yoker understands. But I think perhaps it's not just that. I think Vayivshka Shmuel Abok, I think it's in the context of the ensuing words, taking us back to Pasuk Gimel, Shmuel Shochev, doing what? He says, that's my job, that's my identity. My identity is to go to sleep. Where do you go to sleep? You go to sleep in your home. You go to sleep in your bias, in your primary dwelling place. The Torah, the Navi told us, Shmuel went to lie down where? Be'ichal Hashem. Now Rashi pointed out, as many of us have pointed out in the context of Pasuk Gimel, you can't lie down mamish in the Makom HaMikdash. It means that he went to sleep in proximity to the Be'ichal Hashem, Nichlal in the Ezra Salaviyim, HaShomer Beis HaMikdash. That's my job, that's my persona, that's my life, my identity. Even though God just spoke to him, notice how Pasuk Tezvav goes back to say, he remained the same Shmuel. The same Shmuel who said, my job is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going right back to sleep in my same place, Bimakomo, in the Ezra Salaviyim, in proximity to the Makom HaMikdash. And what does he do when he gets up in the morning? Vayiftach, as Dalsos Beis Hashem, he opens up the doors, writes the Mitzvot David, and the Radak echoes the same. Once Vayiftach, Pasach Hadlosis Kiminhogo. I need the Novi to tell me. That's his job. He is a Levi, after all. His job is to be Machabed and Masharis the Bias. I need the Novi to tell me. Oh, by the way, he got up and did his job precisely. Shmuel is the same Shmuel before and after the Nevuah. He didn't let it go to his head. He remained a Novi Hashem. He remained. My job is to be loyal. loyal, dedicated subservient to the Almighty above. He went right back the next morning to doing the same job. They've done studies that only successful lottery winners are the ones who don't change their lives. 70% plus are the ones who win the Powerballs and the Mega Millions, and overnight they get $200 million, $300 million, $500 million, $1 billion, right? So many of them, their lives are destroyed. They start chartering airplanes and taking all the friends to Las Vegas, and they just blow away all the money. And they've done studies. Who are the 30% who remain happy? The ones who say, if I'm a doctor, a lawyer, an architect, an accountant, if I'm a plumber, I go back to doing my regular job, my regular day-to-day. I'll put away the money, I'll invest it wisely. Okay, they'll buy their relatives a house, maybe, but they go back to living their daily lives so they don't lose their family, they don't lose their friends. And that is Lahavdil Shmuel over here. He just now was born on top of the world. He knows that the mantle of leadership, remember, it's not just that he got a nevuah. Had he received the prophecy in addition to his Rebbe, he would have said, okay, I'm getting it because of my Rebbe. I'm getting it through my Rebbe. Like the story of the Sam Sofer mentioned, a Talmud of the Sam Sofer. He couldn't see Eliyahu Navi. At least he was able to hear Eliyahu Navi because he was a Talmud of the Sam Sofer. So you might think, what? Oh, had Eli gotten the nevuah and Shmuel also got the nevuah, then he would say, I got a machmas all due to this schus of my Rebbe. But Eli didn't get the nevuah here. Here Eli saw, and that's what he clearly perceived and Shmuel understood, that God didn't speak to my Rebbe, he only spoke to me. That means he now understood. It's not just that he was zocha privy to a prophecy of Hashem speaking to him, but he got it and his Rebbe didn't get it. That means the mantle of leadership of the tzaddik, the kol hadar, of the novi of the generation is now torch is passing on from Eli, his Rebbe and mentor, to the student, the devoted, loyal disciple, Shmuel. He goes right back with all that to doing the very same job he did every single day until now. And that is Vayiftach Hasdalsis Beis Hashem. He went to open up, and that's why he highlighted. What do you mean? Levim did so many other special things. Tell me about the special thing. Shiras Alevim. The Ramban writes in Maloscha, Perches Posachafe, Iker Havodas Alevim is Bashir. Their main Avod is Bashir. Tell me, Shmuel was doing a Chosh of Avodah. You know what he did? He could have said, hey, I'm an Avi. Let another Levi be the one to open up the door. Shmuel says, no, I'm going back to doing my same job as the loyal, ever devoted disciple. I'm going to be the one to open up the doors. That's Mitzvah Dovin. I think it's all hinted to in his words. Posach Hatlosis Kemin Hago. He didn't run to share the prophecy to Eli. Why didn't he tell Eli? He doesn't want to be the one. Hashem gave you the prophecy, but Hashem didn't give him any instruction nor any subtle hint whatsoever that he was mandated to convey this nevuah to Eli. So why would you want to share such a nevuah kosher with your Rebbe about the downfall of his family, of the Mishkan, of the curse on Beis Eli? He doesn't want to share it, and therefore he doesn't run to Eli. But what does he do? He does his regular daily activities, and that's what the Radak points out as well. Kamba Boker, he got up out of his bed and he was opening the doors of the Heichal Hashem of the Mishkan and Shiloh Kimin Hago, and he didn't go to tell the Nevuah to Eli. He was afraid to tell the Nevuah to Eli. But what did he do? He went to do his same daily activities of opening up the doors. Vayivtoch Hasdalsas Beis Hashem. And that's how we perceived it. I open up the doors of what? This is the Beis Hashem. And this is my home. This is my place in proximity to the Beis Hashem. Who Shmuel Yorei, but Shmuel was afraid. Mehagir es amare. El Eli and Shmuel is afraid. And that's why the Mitzudas and the Radak will point it out. They're bavorning. The Posik is bavorning. It's Kilu saying, why didn't he share the prophecy? Because he was afraid. And he was afraid. Doesn't the Talmud discuss everything with the Rebbe? Wouldn't the Talmud over here go to the Rebbe and say, Rebbe, what do I do with this nevuah? No, he was afraid. He was afraid one may hagid. And notice, not simply to say it, because the very nature of the prophecy itself was a very harsh, severe one. He didn't want to share the vision with Eli. And notice the word mehagid. Where do we just see mehagid? Pasuk Yud Gimel. Hashem says, this is not an Amira Ba'al Molosh and Rocha, Kosomer Lebes Yaakov. This is Vesage Lebnei Yisrael, Kosha Kegidim. This is a very harsh prophecy. Vigadati Lo, and that's exactly why Shmuel was so afraid. Shmuel Yorei Mehagid. He knew that if he's going to tell the Nevuah, he's got to say it the way God gave it to him. You can't start changing the Nevuah. So it's either you got to say it to Eli like it is, and with Vigadati Lo Mehagid, he says, that I'm not ready to do. That whatever I need to do. If Eli's going to ask, that'll be a different story. May I get a Samara? I can't go ahead and share that vision that I had with Eli, with his Rebbe. Yes.
But on the other hand, you want Eli to start doing
tshuva
in the first
thing, but again, it's not for a Talmud to go ahead to tell the Rebbe to do tshuva. And we're going to see from Eli's response, he understood that it was too late. Now, we did point out that most of the doors are closed, but in the end of the day, just like Shari Demos Lenu,
to
open up the door. Okay. But in the end of the day, he understood, he didn't have, and he was afraid. I was afraid, how can the Talmud go over to the Rebbe? So what happens? Eli chops, Shmuel went back to sleep. But he knows already. Remember, we pointed this out, that Eli already knew. He told him a pasuk test, v'yom Eli v'shmuel leh shechav, go back to sleep. V'haya, but he understood now that he wasn't the one calling out to his Talmud. He knew it was the voice of the Shliach Hashem. So he said, v'amarta deber Hashem kishumei avdecha. He went back to sleep. And that's again Vayishkev Shmuel out of Boker. But now what happens? Eli says in the morning, I know that God appeared yet again. After the three times, I know that it was a true nevuah. As he calls out to Shmuel, Vayomer Shmuel Bini. Notice, he knows something's going on over here. So what does he do? He invokes a term of endearment. Remember the Barbanel? Where did we have this bini before? Let's go back to Pasuk Vav and Paragimel. Amayosef Hashem krod Shmuel vayakum Shmuel vayelech el Eli vayomer hineni hinei ani. I am here at your service, at your call and duty, because you called out to me. Vayomer lo karasi bini shushchov. That Barbanel pointed out that he wanted to calm him down, because if you're not calm, you can't receive the nevuah. If you're in a state of pachad and you're not besimcha, you cannot receive that nevuah. Eli wanted him to receive that nevuah. First of all, Chazal tell us a father never gets jealous of a son if the son becomes greater, and the Rebbe never gets jealous of a Talmud if the Talmud gets greater. So certainly Eli is happy that Shmuel is going to be a Navi, but he knows that if he's getting the Nevuah, and Eli himself as the Gadol Tzadik Ador, as the Navi, is not getting it, he knew that the torch of passing on, and he knew that it's very likely the prophecy pertained to him. If he is not getting called by Hashem, so that Barbanel pointed out, that's what he invoked Bini. Vayomer lo karasi Bini Yishiv Shchav, my gentle son, go back to sleep. I didn't call out to you, but you are my Bini. So here he invokes it again, because he knows that Shmuel was spoken to by God. He knows that Shmuel did not run to him. What did the Talmud run to the Rebbe the first thing in the morning? Rebbe, I got to tell you, had it been a good nevuah, you bet he would have run over to the Rebbe. That was his father figure. That's the only one around. Remember, as we pointed out before, Shmuel, Chana understood, she was giving up her son. He didn't have social, he didn't have friends. His life is, he is the Navi Hashem. His whole life right now revolved around being the Misharis of Eli. If there's something you're going to tell someone, it's going to be your Rebbe. We pointed out many times, Reader's Digest in a study, that up to 50% of the joy of a vacation is coming back and sharing the experience with everybody else. The Kuntzus HaSfeikus, the brother of the Ketzos, already writes in his introduction to it safer. If I were to offer you a ticket on around the world, there are these cruise ships, by the way, between $10,000 and $20,000. It used to be around the world in 80 days, Jules Verne, but now you don't need 80 days. You could go around the world in a month. There are these cruise ships you could take. It's an expensive ticket, and they will take you on a cruise ship around the whole world in a month's time. It's a fortune to pay that ticket, but you get to see a glimpse of the whole world. If I were to offer you that ticket, tonight, no phone with you, no camera, no journal, no diary, you can't write anything down, you can't take any pictures, and when you come back, you can't tell any of your loved ones or friends a word about the journey. How many people would go? How many people would go? How you see this? You gotta see what I said. You come back again, you gotta see the other one I saw when I said. But you wouldn't go. Kuntzus HaSfeikus says, I want a journey throughout the Yama Torah. That's why I'm writing the Sefer. I got to share my insights from the Sefer. So that's all. You're excited. Look at Shmuel's over. Hey, there's nobody in the world to tell. Can you imagine? God just spoke to you for the first time. And there's no one in the world you could share that with. And the only one you would share that with, your Rebbe, it's about him. And it's a negative thing, a very severe thing about him. See, he's holding it, so you might think, what? Oh, now he's going to get someone first. I can't do my job. He's mamash. Oh, he's smash. What does he do? He gets up in the morning. That person might not get out of bed. Forget it. I'm taking the day off. Let me just sit. Let me soak. Let me go under my covers into my little cocoon. And what does he do? In the same posik, the same breath, Vayivka Shmuel on a boker, came sunrise. That's it. He got up, Vayivtach, and he went to do his race. regular job, his regular non-mundane, of course, but the daily activity, opening up the doors of the Beis Hashem. And now what? Again, it's not Mamash Lehichel writes, Avi Koheles Yaakov, a Perush on Sefer Shmuel. He says, beautiful, he says, why do we have to know that he opened up the doors? If you want to tell me that Shmuel now engaged in his daily activities, so he said, you're not going to tell me, oh, he just went out to do the choshev of things, like singing by the Karbanis, but at least tell me he was doing something more choshev. It's the Gabbai, the Shabbos in the morning opens up the door. Sometimes the Havdil who opens up the shul. In the morning, a custodian opens up the shul. I need to know, you know, what doors? What does it say? And not stam the doors. The Dosis Beis Hashem, which is what? He opened up the Dolosei Heche HaElyon. Malkam Shari Shamayim. He went to daven for his Rebbe. Not that Eli would daven. Olai Yavatak said that he himself would daven. So what do we see? What's the Talmud going to do? I can't change the Gezeirah, but let me daven for my Rebbe. So Shmuel went, what? He didn't stop, go back to a service. He went back to a service, but he went to do what? To open up the Heichal to say, I want to daven for my Rebbe. Maybe Hashem will take away the Gezeirah. So you might think, oh, now I'm taking over for my Rebbe. I'm the new leader. I'm the new Navi. What does he do? No, I don't want it yet. I don't want to lose my Rebbe, my father-like figure. He goes, writes the Kohelis Yaakov, and he goes to open up Ulai Yavatel Gezeirah. So he doesn't want to tell Eli about it, but he wants to daven. Maybe his tefillah is going to be mavato the gezeirah. So what? He doesn't want to tell Eli, but Eli knows exactly what's going on. Vayikra Eli es Shmuel. Even though it says es Shmuel, the Mincha Shai points out, we have a nusach, a different girsa that says the words El Shmuel, as we just closed the preceding verse. El Eli really should be Vayikra Eli El Shmuel. He called toward Shmuel, and then the Mincha Shai cites a concordantio, the Meir Nesiv, that has the Loshen Lishmuel, that he calls out to Lishmuel. Vayikra Eli es Shmuel. How do you understand S? Lishmuel, we would understand. El Shmuel, we would understand. What's S? S means with. You know what? I think this all works with the context of the Shmuel B'ni. Vayikra Eli es Shmuel. Shmuel, we're in this together. It's Rebbe Talmud, it's father, son. He's not stomp calling out, oh Shmuel, Vayikra Eli es Shmuel. Come together, we're mamish one. Vayomer Loshen Rocha, in a soft-spoken tone, he says, Shmuel B'ni. He just called out to Shmuel. Let him just say B'ni. No, because it's a term of endearment to hear your name called. As a Tzedek HaKohen says, wherever you are, the first thing that wakes you up from a sleep when someone calls out your name. If you're walking down the street and someone screams out your name, even if they were talking to somebody else, you turn, it's automatic. There's a famous story about the Anivus, the humility of Rapam. Rapam was, of course, or Avram HaKohen Pam, and there was a young boy who lived nearby, his name was also Avram, a special needs child, Avram, and it was a special needs child who called out Avram. I think it was someone else in the street, whatever the story was, but Rapam turned around, he heard the name of, who's going to call Rapam Avram? But that's about the name speaks, Rav Tzedek says, right to the neshama, and thus it's a term of endearment. Everybody likes to hear his or her name. Dale Carnegie even says, when you're in a conversation with someone, it's a good thing because everyone loves the sound of their name. So if you want to get along with someone in the middle of a conversation, just say over their name a bunch of times, Der Chag, in the middle of a conversation, oh yes, Reuven, wow, that's a great insight, Reuven, yes. And people like hearing the sound of their name. So it's a term of endearment. So here, look what we have, the three together. Vayomer Loshen Racha, Shmuel, my dear Shmuel, Beni, who is Mamash, my son, my Talmud, who is like my son, as we saw earlier in the beginning of the Perek, and Pasuk Vav, Vayomer Hineni, and how does Shmuel respond? Vayomer Lashon Racha, the same Hineni, Dahayna what? Hineani, Wujani, the same Shmuel, the same Talmud, even though I just got a Nevuah, and you, my Rebbe, did not, Hineni, Hineani, I'm the same Ani, at your beck and call, at your call and duty, I am here to listen to whatever you ask me, whatever you tell me to do, I'm the same Shmuel I always have been. Right, it's what Chazal fill in the Medrash, that Elkanah was a Levi, so we know that Shmuel was a Levi. Well, yeah. And that's why he's living nearby, etc. Right. It didn't say Mefurish in the Pasuk. Right, not Mefurish in the Pasuk. Yeah. Sometimes, right, not all the time. Correct, but over here we didn't have it exactly, but it gave us the Yichus. So anyone who follows the Yichus, if you follow the Yichus, then we know and that he was a Levi, because it says, that's why Rashi filled in, it says Shmuel Kana Ben Yerucham Ben. So if you go follow the Yichus, it strays back to Avi Yosef Ben Korach. That's Divrei Yomim. So it's Aniyam Makom Zeh Shem Rang Achar. Doesn't do it here in the beginning of Shmuel, but in Divrei Yomim, when we go through a lot of the lineage, Divrei Yomim Aleph and Perek Vav Pesukim Yetesta Chavez, it goes through the Bnei Levi, the Bnei Korach, and Elkanah was Levi Haya from the sons of Avi Yosef, the son of Korach. So, was Shmuel a Nazir? Did he make him a Nazir? Did she make him a Nazir Mamish?
Some say he was. I don't know how they get that, but they...
Right, so after the Shimshon, we know the Pasuk actually tells us that. We don't know that she dedicated him to be a Nazir. Right, we know that he was dedicated to serve, but we didn't have any indication in the Pesukim that he was a Nazir. They lived in proximity. That's why his place, there was a special place. Again, there was a rotation, right? There was a rotation. So just like Chavdal and Mishmar Sakahuna didn't have to stay there. When they were on call and duty, then they had to. Okay, so now we go to what? So what happens? Eli now wants to extract the nevuah from his disciple Shmuel. Pasuk Yitzayit. Vayomer, he continues. Vayomer, speaking Lashon Racha. Maha davar asher dibre lecha al nasa chachan mimeni. And what is the davar? What is the word? The thing. Asher dibre lecha. How do you know? I understand. How do you know that Hashem was medaver? Maybe Hashem was omer. Aren't we in a context of vayomer shmo b'ni, vayomer ineni, vayomer elawat? He knows instinctively that if I was always the Navi, and for the first time my disciple's getting it, and I'm not, and must have been about me. And what's it about Eli? And must not be a very good thing. He clearly sensed that it's not a good thing, and the Rishonim point this out, that he knew something was up. If my Talmud got it and I didn't get it, it must be that it's something about the family. And he knew that Chofni and Pinchas never did tshuva. He knew that he was held liable because he didn't give them those, because God already told him through Elkanah or through Pinchas, the Ish Hashem, he already knew that bad things were going to happen. He just didn't know that it was reinforced. So Vayomer, he's speaking softly to Shmuel, but he says to Shmuel, I know there's something strict over here. Ma davar. What is the word? The word Lashon Kasha. Asher Dibre Elecha. Sorry? But he doesn't know that yet. He doesn't know it's that strong. He knows it's strong, right? He doesn't know the Nevuah for sure. He just knows Ma davar Asher. He knows it's a harsh thing. He doesn't know how harsh. Ma davar Asher Dibre Elecha. What is that harsh word? That Hashem spoke to you. What do we see back in Pasuk Yud Aleph? I think there's another reference. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, when God was speaking to Shmuel, what did he say? Exactly. Vayomer Hashem Shmuel, Hinei Anochi Osa Davar B'Yisrael. I'm doing a davar, I'm doing a thing. I'm not getting into all the specifics in Pasuk Yud Aleph just yet, but I'm crowning it with what terminology? It is a davar. It is a harsh thing that I'm doing now in Klai Yisrael, and Eli senses that. Vayomer. So I think God is keep putting this word into his mouth. The same way Hashem said, I'm going to do a davar be Yisrael vis-a-vis the family of Eli. Eli already sensed that. Ma davar. What is that davar that Hashem spoke to you? Al nasecha. Now, what does he say? He knows that if Shmuel didn't convey the nevuah to him, then he wasn't obligated to do so. Because if Shmuel was obligated to do so, Eli doesn't need to tell him, give me the nevuah. That's God telling him, you have to give him the nevuah. He understood that there was no hint even that Hashem made Shmuel responsible to convey the nevuah. But now that the Rebbe approaches him, he says, I know you don't have to tell me. You know, you have to tell him, but he says, I'm your Rebbe. Al na, he invokes Lashon Bakasha, please. Al na, but he couples it with a Lashon Klala. He wants to know. Al na, sechacha mimeni, don't withhold it from me. Sechacha, he writes, Matsudas Tzion is in Inya Mania, Bahalama. Don't make it invisible. Don't prevent me from hearing it. Don't withhold it. Don't hold it back from me. I want to hear the nevuah. And if you don't tell me the nevuah, notice what? He starts with the Lashon Makasha. Please don't withhold it from me. Period. Esnachta is the trup. But then he continues in the same breath. And if you don't tell it to me, Ko yaseh lecha Elohim midas hadin v'ko yosef im techach emimeni dover mikol hadover asher dibrei lecha. Listen to this alliteration. Alliteration. Look at Dover, Dover, Dover. He knows something bad is being foretold. So now Eli switches. What does he say? And now I'm taking the part of your Rebbe. First I called you Bani. And there's the Rebbe Talmud as the father-son relationship. Vayomer Shmuel Bani. But now he says, what? I want to know, what did God tell you? Please, I know you're not obligated, but please, I'm asking. Don't withhold it from me. But then Eli shifts gears. And he says, and if you don't tell it to me, then I'm giving you a curse that Elokim Midas Adin shall do to you such. We don't know what such is yet. We'll see in the Rishonim what that is. The call Yosef, and he shall do further, and techach imeni, if you withhold for me, davar, mikola davar, asher diber lecha. Anything, dahinu, I want to know the whole package. I want to know every single thing, meaning what? Shmuel might say, okay, I'll tell him the gist. I'll tell him the bulk of the words. Eli says, I want to order. Now, you might think, oh, this is sacranut, curiosity. If you know, your Talmud or your friend, your family member got a nevuah, God, tell me, what did God say to you? What did God, this isn't some curiosity. Anyone's going to be curious. This is Eli. Eli knows that bad things are coming. And Eli knows God already sent him to Shliach Hashem. And now Hashem sent him etches through his Talmud. He wants to know, and maybe he is going to try and daven. So he wants to know the full-fledged severity of what the prophecy was all about. He wants to know it all so he can respond accordingly. Don't hold back dover me call a dover. I know it's a dover. I know it's something severe. Don't hold back anything. I don't want you to hold back the slightest iota. Don't diminish the severity of it. Whatever Hashem was deeper, I want you to share everything with me. And if you don't, I'm giving you a klola.
That's very difficult. Even a call up from a tzaddik.
Excellent. And then we actually, Chazal, the Medrash says we learn it out from this pasuk. That's why it's so dangerous. The Gemara Makos Dav Yud Amud Aleph, Kill us chochem afilu b'tzanahi bo. Kill us chochem afilu b'chinami bo. But what do you see? Eli wasn't the same Eli. That's exactly the point. I think the earlier Godol Tzadik Ador Novi Eli would never issue such a thing. But he already, remember, lost his nevuah. This is very severe. Why would you open, why would you say Yeloshen Klola to your Talmud? Rashi cites the Medrash. What's Kol Yaseh Lecha? Not just a curse is he giving him. He says, if you don't tell me everything God shared with you, then I'm wishing upon you Osa Klola Atzma. The same curse that I got, which is what? Shelo Yechabonim Hagunim. Now, he knew that he's not going to get the whole curse, but the main pain of the curse was that he was going to lose his children. Chafni and Pinchas, he was going to lose his children. And he says, well, the same way I didn't have Bonim Hagunim, the Medrash Shmuel says that's what he meant. Kosa Klola Atzma, that you won't have Shmuel Bonim Hagunim. And what happened in the end? Does anyone know what happened to Shmuel? Shmuel, they did not take over him. Because what? All because of this curse, the Medrash says.
Shouldn't it come true because...
And he did tell him, and that's exactly what the Gemara says. That's, and Eli gets punished in a sense for that. That's the Chiddush of the Gemara. A Chacham has such a power in his tongue. Whatever comes out of the tongue of a Chacham who has that Peh Kadosh, that's going to come true. That's why they have to be so careful. That's why you have cases over Chazal. Let's go to Brachas Daf Tesim and base your Tesim. Now, Al Yiftach Adam Piv L'Satan. Al Yiftach Adam Piv L'Satan. Why? What do you mean? I said, but I didn't mean it. Teretz is when the words come out, they take on a reality. Why is Vidoy in the Rambam Silchas Shuvah, that's the Iker definition of the Mitzvah Sashuvah? What is Vidoy? Why is Vidoy featured so much more prominently than the Aziva Sachet Kabbalah Halabon Nacharata? Vidoy explains the Maral and the Siva Solomon and the Siva Shuvah is when you confession. Even in Christianity, what do they have? The confession booth. What's going to, that's not the same confession, right? Confession, oh, very good. To the priest, oh, it's over and done with. He doesn't see me. It's behind a partition. Vidoy is I'm going out facing a Kodesh Baruch Hu and I'm confessing my sin, but Hashem knows my sins. Hashem is Yotza Yachalibam Hamevin Akoma Seyim Yirmiyah Perkiat Zayin Posegun. Hashem is Choker Leva Bochin Klais. Hashem knows what I'm thinking. Teretz says when you say it, it gives it a sense of reality. Every spouse knows that the spouse, no, I want to hear I love you. Every spouse knows when you're apologetic, no, I want to hear the words I am sorry. It doesn't matter, you need to hear the words. That's Vidoy. But Hashem knows I sin, but to say it is to come to reality. And that's why when a Chacham says those words, even though they didn't mean it, again, he just wanted to know in the moment, notice the shift. It's a Pella. I would have thought it would be two separate psukim. And the same Pasuk, when it's in the same Pasuk, that means what? He says, Ma Damar Shadim Alachanasech Alna. Alna, I just called you Vayomer. I just called you a term of endearment, your name Shmuel. I called you Bani, you're my dear son. So please, my dear son, don't hold back the information. Share it with me. And then right away in the same Pasuk, and if you don't share it with me, by the way, Shmuel, I do love you. You're my son. But if you don't share it with me, bad things are going to happen to you. Teretz is what? That's when you really want to know it. It comes out. It's because of this. Rashi cites the Midrash Shmuel. V'chein also bo. What are we going to read later on? Perches Pasuk Gimel. We're going to read exactly this. Alpha Bishekel of Elochiche. Even though he told them, this is the Gemara Makos Yid Al Mikan Amru Kilas Chacham. Afilu Al Tznahi Bo. Once the words come out of the mouth of the Chacham, that's it. You can't go in and change it, and that's why it's so, so scary. What do we read later on? Perches Pasuk Gimel. We read exactly this idea. Even though we know that Shmuel had children, let's go to the beginning of Perches. Vayikra Asher Zaken Shmuel. Eli was a Zaken, Shmuel was a Zaken, even though he's only 52. I just turned 52. I Zaken. I thought Zaken is 60. Ben Shishim Lezikna. But again, he was Shmuel means his Zaken, his Zikna already in his life. He died at 15. He reached his potential. When he was a Zaken, he asked him his bond of Shoftim in Israel. He placed his sons to be Shoftim. But what happened? Shem Beno Bechor was Yoel. Shem Shani Avia. And they served him Shoftim. But what? The Hochu Bona Bedrachav. They didn't follow Israel. How many people would have been able to tell you, unless you're Baki and Tanakh, ask any Tom, Dick, and Harry, what are the two names of the sons? Everybody knows Chofni and Pinchas even. How many people know Yoel and Avia? Tertz is what those are the sons. And the end of the day, again, it goes back to this whole thing of Tshuva. The Kiddush Chacham came out. You need unbelievable tefillah, and you need unbelievable zechuyos to overpower it. Once the
didn't have it?
He did, but it's again Moshe Rabbeinu. Same way Moshe Rabbeinu, nothing stands in the way of tefillah.
His kids. But was from his son.
And what do you see? You could even be Moshe Rabbeinu. But what do you see Moshe Rabbeinu when he was given a decree? Moshe Rabbeinu was, his main koach was in tefillah. The Gemara says, Abrochus, Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis. Amar Rav Elazar, no one was greater in Maas and Tovah than Moshe Rabbeinu. Afapikin lo ner el b'schas ha-tefillah. And how many times did he daven to rescind the Gezerah to go into Eretz Yisrael? 515 times. Can you imagine? And he would have gone in because nothing would stand in the way. Hashem had to tell him, Al Tosef, that's it, stop right here, because one more tefillah would have gone in. That's 515. Gematria Tefillah, Gematria Shira, Gematria Yitzchak and Rivka, 208 and 307. But can you imagine? It's the same way an older single girl came to Rabbi Yoshua and said, when am I going to get my husband? I already davened 10,000 Tefillah. So Rabbi Yoshua says, maybe Hashem wants 10,001. Maybe he wants 10,031. How many? But do you know what it means? 515 powerful tools. We can't imagine how much Moshe Rabbeinu davened to go into Eretz Yisrael. I'm sure Shmuel did daven for his sons, but Eli was such a tzaddik. That's what they say. Every bracha that came out of the mouth of the Gra and the Chavetz Chaim, every single bracha came true. Every single bracha came true. When they said something, that's it. It had a reality. We mentioned that case of the 7-year-old boy. The Vilna Gaon came out once to walk to shul. And the 7-year-old boy got too close to the Gaon. He always wore his talus and tefillin. And he got too close and he stepped on the talus. And the Gaon kept walking and the talus came off. Can you imagine? This 7-year-old boy just knocked off the talus of the Golda Hador, the Vilna Gaon. And he started to turn bright red. And he was so embarrassed. And the Gaon turned around and he wanted to calm the boy down. And he put his hand on his head and he says, don't be embarrassed, don't worry, I give you a bracha, you shall live to be 100. And when he was 98 years old, he got fatally ill, and the family said, you have to go to a doctor. He says, I don't need to go to a doctor. What do you mean? Your mom is dying. After Grah put his hand on my head and the words came out of the Vilna Gaon's mouth that I'm going to live to be 100, I have no suffix, I am guaranteed to live to be 100, and he died on his 100th birthday. True story in the biographies of the Gra. If the words came out of the Gra, that's it. The Gra Chavetz Chaim, they never spoke Lashon Hara. Every word, that's why Rechaim Moser had only one child. He had only one child, it was a daughter. And she got sick, and she passed away. She passed away, she got sick at 14. And she died a few years later at 16. She got sick at 16 or died at 16? Died at 16, but I think she got sick at 14. She fought the illness for a number of years. Rav Chaim Moshe Gadzinski, the Gol Hador, thought that she was going to marry the Briska Rav one day. She was brilliant. She was a tzadekes. And Rav Chaim Ozer, he lost her. He lost her and she died of the sickness. In fact, Rav Chaim Ozer in the biographies, he used to go for a walk in the park every day. And a Talmud once asked him, why are you going for a walk in the park? He says, because I miss the sound of my daughter, so I want to go walk in the park to hear the children playing in the park. He was the Gold Hador who knew Kol Torkul on his fingertips, and he was still a human being. Still a human being. And he had feelings. So Rav Chaim Ozer was very close to the Chafetz Chaim. So Chaim Ozer would send Talmidim to go visit the Chafetz Chaim. And every time he would say, ask the Chafetz Chaim for a bracha, that I should have another child. And he sent the Talmidim. The Talmidim would come back and say, the Chafetz Chaim didn't give the bracha. And finally he sent another Talmud. And he said to the Talmud, please ask for a bracha. I want the Chafetz Chaim. He knew. The Chafetz Chaim says, if the words come out of his mouth, the Chaim Ozer will have a child. He knew he was going to have a child. That's why, but now the Chafetz Chaim didn't give that bracha to everyone. It's the same way. There were people before the war. Remember, the Chafetz Chaim was nifter in 1933, and he already told the Talmidim there's going to be a World War II, which is going to be much harsher than the World War I. And there were people who came to the Chafetz Chaim, and he sent them to America. And other people he sent out to Israel, and other people he didn't send away. He understood there are some people, this was the Gezeira, and he didn't give everyone a bracha. So here, Chaim Ozer sent the Talmud finally, and he said he was trying already for a year or two, and he was very close to the Chafetz Chaim when they were carrying on his shoulders, and they said, Gol Hador. He said, I'm not the Gol Hador, even though he was older than Chaim Ozer. He said, Chaim Ozer is the Gol Hador. So Chaim Ozer sent the Talmud and says, I want you to ask the Chafetz Chaim, why is he not giving me a bracha for another child? And the Talmud asked the Chafetz Chaim said, tell them, and that sometimes when the Gold Hador is needed by all of Klal Yisrael, right now maybe he's not supposed to have another child. That was the message he got back. So then Chaim Moses stopped asking him. It's very sad. So the Chafetz Chaim was saying to him, he was supposed to be the Gold Hador, and Klal Yisrael needed him to be the father of all of Klal Yisrael, and the Chafetz Chaim didn't give him that bracha. Now, of course the Chafetz Chaim would give a bracha. Teretz says Chafetz Chaim knew himself, if I give the bracha, it's going to happen. He understood Hashem didn't want him to give that bracha. Why didn't Chafetz Chaim give everyone a bracha? Leave Germany, leave Poland. He knew that it's not what Hashem wanted. But that's the koach, and that we learn it from Eli. That's one of the sources. Koach chacham. But what? So how does Eli do it? Teretz says, you know that Hashem just spoke to your Talmud, and it's about you. You want to know that information. He didn't mean to curse him. And although, to think that he had that power in his Talmud, but that's the var. Sometimes, it wasn't, Eli didn't want his Talmud to get a curse. But sometimes they themselves underestimate the power of the koach of the peh. And the words came out of his mouth. And Shmuel, I was very nice, but you got to tell me if you hold anything back. And then the same thing is going to be on you. And what happened? His two sons, Yoel and Avia, unfortunately did not follow in his ways. Excellent. Moms, you both just had the same insight. Yaakov and the Truffin. Both just had the same insight. Once, and that's exactly the idea. Once it came out of his mouth, of course he never would have said it. Terrence is. Lovin, it's so not me or anyone of that. It can't be. I said, Mela, he said it. So Eli's saying also, it comes out, but that's, they underestimate the koach that they have, but that was the curse that he gave him, and that's limit of Galoshin. That was it's sad to hear. That's what the Rabbah writes. He says, even though Eli didn't know for sure what the precise nature was, had he also known the precise nature. So the Rabbah says like this. He says, I know Chazal have a drush, and the drush is that it was a Loshin Klola. Because he said what? Notice he didn't say a curse. He said, whatever the Nevuah has to do pertaining to me, I'm wishing the same thing on you. So how could that be? The Rabbah mitigates that. He says, yes, that's the drush. He says, in the world of Pshat, he says, Eli still didn't know exactly what it was. So he didn't know for sure it was a klala. So he's saying, Shmuel, you better tell me what it is. Otherwise, you know, whatever it is, it should be on you too. Dainu, you have to tell me, otherwise it's... And at the end of the day, Eli, the words came out of his mouth. That's it. It's going to be to a certain degree. Again, it could be the koach tefillah. Remember, if you take it literally, that means everything. Ko, whatever. Ko means such. Whatever it was that was wished upon me to go unto you. Not everything was wished upon. Oh, the only. It's a huge thing. But his sons didn't follow on his path. It could be that because of all the davening of Shmuel and all the chuyis and all the tzidkas of Shmuel, he did achieve enough that not everything clearly on Eli was transferred to him. But at least this part, he couldn't rescind, even though they became shoftim, they did not follow are fully in the ways of Shmuel, all because of this pasuk Yitzayah. So what happens then?
That was also maybe he didn't rebuke them, just like Aaron didn't rebuke Kofi and Pinchas. Maybe he didn't.
Could be, maybe he didn't rebuke them enough, but we don't see that Tevia on him. So it could be. It could be as a father, but that's, you know, we can't say that unless Chazal told.
I say that today with a lot of Gedolim, with a lot of Rabbein, that they don't have time for their own children, and the children don't follow in their ways because of it.
So, that could happen. Right, so again, we don't know for sure that that's the reason, but it could have played a role. Absolutely, it could have played a role. So what happens now? Shmuel is left with no choice. Vayagi delo Shmuel. So notice what? Vayagid. Here we go back to Vayagid because why Vayagid? Eli didn't say, tell it to me, Lashon HaGadol. He said, tell me, Davar mi kol davar shir dibar lecha. The Torah says, well, Shmuel saying, you want me to give you over everything, then I'm going to give you over everything. You know what everything was? Pasagid Gimel? Vigadat Elo. It's mamish stricter than you think. As the Rabbah pointed out, Eli didn't know how severe it was just yet. But once he instructed his Talmud Shmuel, don't hold back anything, Shmuel can mitigate it now. He can't go ahead and diminish from its severity one iota. He's got to give over everything. So he does precisely that. Shmuel says, Eli, my Rebbe, I want you to know, and this isn't Stam. Vayageid lo Shmuel. Vayageid loshen hagadah. And he gave over as kol ha-devarim. It wasn't just a davar. There were a lot of devarim. The Hainu what? There were a lot of davar kashas over here. Not just regarding your son. Though we had some of our Shema say that it's the Aaron. I know that's, we don't know that Eli knew that. But he's telling him what? Give over everything. But that wasn't necessarily in the devoir. Right, that it was given over to Shmuel. But in the end of the day, everything that was told to Shmuel, he gave over everything. And the Navi wants us to know, Shmuel, remember, is writing this over. Shmuel, the author, is writing, Vayagel Shmuel, I, Shmuel, I'm telling the world I gave over every single thing he wanted from me. You just told me he gave over his kol dvarim. So if he gave us kol dvarim, Teretz is what? We want to teach you, kill us, chacham afilu, al tnahi ba. Even though Eli made it conditional, ano sechachem imeni, im sechachem. Shmuel says, I want you lo chichem imenu. I didn't withhold a single bit of information. And after peaking, I suffered consequences to teach you the peh kodosh of an Adam Gadol. When the words come out, you can't fully change it. But Shmuel, the author, wants us to know that I responded vayagid lo, the lashon he got it to. I gave over everything as kol ha-devarim of lo chichem, and I didn't withhold one iota from Eli. Ava yomar. And what was Eli's response? Vayomar, Pella. After Eli heard it, and notice, it's not a new pasuk. That means it was an immediate response. Now, you might hear this information about Midas Adin on your family, Chas V'Shalom, and everything else Hashem conveyed. And you might think, you know what, I need time to digest this. How am I going to respond? You know what a tzaddik does? Eli is still a tzaddik. He's still an Adam Gadol. Vayomar, Lashon Rocho, Hashem Hu Atov Be'inav Yaseh. Of a fellow. Exactly, and that exactly is the diuk. Excellent. Hashem Atov Me'am Loei says, what does he say, Hashem? Even though he just said earlier in Yud Zayin, Ko Yaseh Lecha Elokim. Dehainu, he's thinking Midas Adin. And now he just heard all of Midas Adin. See, the whole forefront of his mind is Midas Adin. And in the same pasuk, immediately upon hearing from Shmuel, without a new pause, without a new break, without digesting it an hour later, instantly that's a tzaddik vayomar right away. He says, what? Hashem, hatzaddik. There's nothing to talk about. Hashem Nelson, Hashem Lakach, Vayomar, and he says in a soft-spoken way, and the Malbim points this out as well, he just heard the Lashon of Shmuel. He knew that it was going to be almost impossible to change the Gezerah. And still, if that's what Hashem wants, I'm a Kabbal B'Lev Sholem, Hashem Midas HaRachamim, Hu HaTov Be'inam Yasa, will do whatever he wants, because it's Rashi. And other Rishonim point out Hashem who? He is Adonu v'Hakol Shelo. He is Hashem who? He is the Adon of the world. Everything belongs to him. He can do whatever he wants. Hatov Be'inav Yaseh. What is it? Even though it's not Tov Be'inai, it's Hatov Be'inav Yaseh. That's what he will do. What a Kabbalah of the Din, writes the Me'am Lois. What a dogma of Koma da'avir Rachman on the top of it. He didn't say, even though it's terrible, I accept. He said what? He didn't say even though it's terrible. He says what? I know that it's a tova enough. And if it's a tova enough, then I accept it. Because in the end of the day, it's good for me. This is what I need to cleanse me. I want all my punishment in this world. I don't want to get it in the next world. Sapela vayomar, right away, Hashem, He is the Adon of the world, Ha Yehovah Viya, controls everything, but likewise, Midas HaRachamim, Hatov, because Koma Adav Rechon, L'Tov Ovid, Bein Aviasa. So what is the difference between Gamzu L'Tov and Koma Adav Rechon, L'Tov Ovid? Gemara Tainis Chabes, Nachamish Gamzu. Why is he called Nachamish Gamzu? Because Gamzu L'Tov Ovid. He was the Rebbe, the Gemara says in Chagiga, you'd raise him an alpha. Rabbi Akiva was Meshamish, his Rebbe. Nachamish Gamzu, he had Rabbi Leozer and Rabbi Yeshua for many years, and he served Nachamish Gamzu, his Rebbe, for 22 years. So if your Rebbe taught the world Gamzu L'Tova, why did you change the terminology? He changed Brochas Tav Samach when he was in the forest and he lost his donkey and he lost his chicken, and at the end of the day, he was saved because bandits came into the town. What was his response? Koma Adav Rechon L'Tova, right? So Hashem Tov. You know what the difference is? Koma Adav Rechon means whatever Hashem has made us harachamim. Koma Adav Rechon, whatever God has, the God of mercy, does. L'Tova, but I don't see the Tov right here and right now, but I know in my heart of hearts, L'Tova, but he's doing it. L'Tova, there'll be a good that will come out of it. That explains why Hashem Tov was Rabbi Akiva. The Rebbe Nachamish Gamzu was on a higher Madrega. What was his Madrega? I don't need to wait to see the good. Gamzu, I could point right here and right now and say, Gamzu L'Tova. This right now is good. That's the Chiddush of Rebbe. So Rabbi Akiva, you served your Rebbe. Why didn't you share that with the world? Because Rabbi Akiva knew. That's Nachamish Gamzu. That's for the Tzadikei Hador. The regular Tom, Dick, and Harry's, we can't. And by the way, we're not expected to live that way. We're not expected. We're expected to live komada rachmana with the emunah bitachon. L'tov, it's going to be good. But what? Gamzu L'tova, hikalim. Not only that, what's his name? What's he called? Nachamish Gamzu. Now, if he's called Nachamish Gamzu because he said and taught the world Gamzu L'tova is that highest madrega, so many mafarshim ask, call him Nachamish Gamzu L'tova. Think about it. What is it? We have somebody in the neighborhood, wonderful people, then the last name is Gamzu. Why are they called Gamzu? After Nachamish Gamzu. But why is he Gamzu? What does Gamzu mean? Gamzu without L'tova doesn't mean anything. You never ever wonder about Nachamish Gamzu. He's Nacham, the man of this too. This too what? You're leaving out Iker Chasim and our Sefer. His name ought to be Nochemish Gamzu L'Tova. Terence says he was on such a madrega, he didn't even need to see the L'Tova. He says, I don't need to see it. I'm Nochemish Gamzu. I'm just going to point and I'm going to tell you, I know it's L'Tova. I don't need to see the Tova. Don't think he's a magician. Oh, I'm going to see how it's good. Terence says, what? I don't need to see it. And the end of the day, that's the higher madrega, the famous mice with the Kutzker Rebbe. Talmud came into the Kutzker Rebbe. He had just visited another Hasidic Rebbe, and he came into Kutzk on Sukkis. And he said, Rebbe, I visited another Hasidic Rebbe, and the Rebbe was telling everybody in the sukkah that the night before he saw the Yishpizin. Every night, the Zohar Parsha Semer, the Zayin Yishpizin, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, Moshe, and Yosef and David, they came to my sukkah. And he said that he saw the Yishpizin. Can you believe it? Kutzke Rebbe, we have a Hasidic Rebbe who saw the Yishpizin in today's world. Kutzke Rebbe said, I believe I'm on a Hayim Adrega. And you're on a Hayim Rebbe. Why? He says, that Rebbe needs to see them to believe that they're there. I don't need to see them to know that they're in my sukkah. And that's the high madrega. So that Rebbe, if I see them, then I'll know that Rabbi, seeing is... In America, we can't make up our mind. Mitzad Echa, we say seeing is believing. And Mitzad Sheni, we say this more than meets the eye. Now, what's the idea? Yeah, what you see is what you get. Mitzad Echa, but there's more than meets the eye. For some people, what you see is what you get. And seeing is believing. And if I don't see it, then I don't believe it. The high madrega is, I believe it. I don't need to see it because I believe it. And that's the high madrega. That's it. I don't have to ask. I'm just going to do it. That's the whole idea. You don't have to ask. And that's why I'm a joy. He says, I don't even have to see the L'Tova. His name, his essence is Nachamish Gamzu. I see this is already good for me. That's the high madriga. Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Akiva, remember, was the Gol Hador. Rabbi Akiva saying, he's the one with Talmidim. He's the one teaching the world. You're not going to get to that madriga of Nachamish Gamzu. But I'm giving you a semblance of my ain of that, which is Shaykh to Ko Yochid V'Yochid. And it is, I'm not asking you to see the good right here and right now, but I'm asking you to believe in your heart of hearts that koma da'avid rachmana, da'ainu step number one, no, that Hashem is bal midas rachmim. Hashem is doing everything, mitoch his mercy, koma rachmana, litov, litov avid, he's doing it, you'll see litov, in the end it's going to be good.
I just want to understand, why did Eli have to know what the prophecy was? Like,
it's like I'm going to a Rebbe and the Rebbe will tell me something. Something that I come out and I don't want to repeat it because it's private. He got to practice. Why did he have to share it with Eli?
Excellent. So we have to put it into its context. The only Navi, until Shmuel just got this Nebuah, the only Navi, and that's what we saw, Ein Chazon, they didn't have any other Nevi'im. At the time, Eli was it. So all prophecies went through him. As again, Pinchas Eliyahu HaNavi, and then in a sense, you know, he is still alive, but if that was the Yishalokim who came to him, he was Pinchas Eliyahu HaNavi.
But shouldn't Eli have known? If I didn't get it, obviously I wasn't supposed to get it.
And that's why the Mefarshim say he knew that if my Talmud got it and I didn't get it, that pertained to him. So if you're a Navi, now your Talmud is getting it. So it could be he wanted to know, maybe you could do tshuva. Maybe there's something you could do. It wasn't Stam curiosity. Shmuel is not recording it in the pages of a Navi. Anything that's in the pages of a Navi is something that's Hutsu Chaladaros. How much do we know about Moshe Rabbeinu from the time he was 12 until he was 80? Right, he leaves as 12 and he comes back at 80 years old. Where's the whole life? Tell us about the davening and the learning. It's not necessary for me. So anything is unnecessary if it's not. We had millions of Nevi'im. We only have 48 prophets because it's only Nevi'im Hutsu Chaladaros. That means what? And he's telling me this. This isn't Stam, a sense of curiosity. I don't need him to. This is what he's saying. Maybe there's something for me to take out of this. Maybe he'll do tshuva. Maybe I'll hear about it. Maybe there's something I can correct. Once he heard everything, and that's why Vayomar. Once he heard it was a Lashon Shvua, and that's what some of the Mefarshim point out. That once he heard it was reinforced with Lashon Shvua, then he understood there's not much that he could do at this point. But he wanted to know Stam, not out of Sakonut, but out of maybe there is something I could change. Maybe there's something to do. And it's also a question of if it's something that does pertain to him that didn't come to him, then it reinforces that the new mantle of leadership. So it is going to change his approach, Klape, his Talmud, for the last few days, months, years of his life. How am I going to be a Rebbe to my Talmud if I see my Talmud is already getting to this new mantra?
Does anything that you say relate to why there's a Kriya Kasiv here? I always am curious as why. They know, and it says underneath that it's supposed to be they know. Why one eye instead of two eyes? Any deep meaning
within it? It could be, again, Ve'einov, and we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eino is the Ein HaVashkocha. When we say that Hashem is in Ayin Roa, Ve'ozen Shamas. Notice in Perkevus, what do we say? Hashem is the eye that sees. In a sense, there's the eye, Hashem doesn't have eyes. Hashem doesn't have ears. It means what? The Ayin that sees, that oversees everything, the Ein HaVashkocha. In fact, if you ever look, Lahavdil, in the back of a dollar bill, what do you have in the back of a dollar bill? You have a pyramid with an eye. What is that eye doing above the pyramid? Because they held what? That represents God, who sees everything. That's why in the beginning of Parshas Bo, what did the Arba do? Vayichasas Ein Haaretz, Ein Shimsha. Because they believe the sun was the main God, and that represents the eye that sees everything. So there are two aspects. One is Hashem is the Ayin Roeh, sees everything. But since we find so many times, we just use the shortness of eyes, ears, to relate to God. In a sense, what? God has eyes. Whatever God wants to do in his eyes, so it's Ein of. But in the end of the day, God doesn't have two eyes. God doesn't even have one eye. Kavi Yachol, he has the sense, the metaphorical eye that's seeing everything. Ayin Roeh of Oz and Shamas. I have two ideas. We'll see another Ksivan Kri coming up right now at the end of Perek Gimel. So let's get there. So Mitzvah Hashem, we have a pay now. Why do we have a pay now? We're in the middle of a Perek. What's this Parsha doing here? This pay is saying, we're done. The Nevuah was given over. Eli accepted it. This is a new beginning. Remember, we don't have the break of chapters. That's attributed to Stephen Langton, the Archbishop of Canterbury, in the 11th, 12th century for the purpose of the Judeo-Christian debates. Where is the Navi breaking it up? Right here. Because this is a new beginning. Vayigdal Shmuel. And of course it's a new beginning. Okay, who could tell us where the other two places we already had? Vayigdal. We already had, he already grew up. So we have it by Moshe, Vayigdal Moshe, and we had it twice. Perek Beis Pasuk Yud, the last Pasuk, and the second Aliyah. Shmo said, Vayigdal Hayelen. And the first Pasuk of a new Aliyah was a new phase. A new Aliyah hinted to the fact it's a new phase. And now it's what Vayigdal Moshe. Before it was the physical maturation, Vayigdal Hayelen. And then Perek Beis Pasuk Yud, the first Pasuk of the third Aliyah, Vayigdal Moshe. Notice, and I think the diak is so clear over here. And we had it twice, but let's go back to Perek Beis Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Moshe Ve'Aramel, Shmuel Mechor Shmuel, and in a level he's on that same Madrego. And that's part of what's being achieved over here. Look what we had. We had this back before. Perek Beis Pasuk Chavalev. Kipok and Hashem Eschon. Vatar Atei Lichlo Shavodim Shtei Monas. Vayigdal Hanar Shmuel Em Hashem. What happened over there? It wasn't Vayigdal Shmuel. Vayigdal Hanar. Just like Vayigdal HaYeled. Dahayna what? Very geschmack. Moshe Beinu. There was Vayigdal HaYeled. And there was Vayigdal Moshe. Alephianius Daiti. Here's the parallel. Vayigdal HaNar Shmuel. The Nar is now, he was just born. So now he's growing up. He's growing up together with Hashem. Vayigdal HaNar. That's time number one. We had it again. Let's go later on. Perk Beis Pasuk Chavav.
Also, it says Shmuel Yim Hashem. And here it says Hashem
Lo Yayim. We're going to get there. Excellent. We're going to get there. Let's first go word by word. Pasuk Chavav. HaNar Shmuel Holech V'Gadel V'Tov. So what do we have? First it was Vayigdal HaNar Shmuel. Now we have what? The Nar Shmuel. So he's still a Nar. In a sense, he's still young. He hasn't got at his potential yet. He's still a Nar. But he's what? Stage two. Holech V'Gadel. He is now getting greater. He is Holech. He's on the move. He's on the go. He is Holech V'Gadel Vato. But he's not reaching his potential yet. Until God speaks to the Navi, you're not an Adam Sholem yet. Only now, midlife, we said it somewhere, and his late 20s, around 30 years old, that he's getting this first Nevuah. And now God speaks to him. And now that God spoke to him and didn't speak to Eli. Now what? Now he's an Adam Sholem. Notice we dropped the Nar. He's not a Nar anymore. No way is he a Nar. Not only that, he's not Holech V'Gadel. He is the same way, Vayigdal Moshe. And now it's what? The name. Not Nar, not any descriptive modifying term. It's Vayigdal Shmuel. The Shmuel that we know is now Vayigdal. What's the manifestation of Vayigdal? Exactly like my mom just pointed out, the Torah is letting us know. And what is Vayigdal Shmuel? Hashem Hayaimo, the same Hashem. And notice, we just closed the previous chapter. The previous narrative was Eli recognizing Hashem who? Hashem who? Hashem is the Din. The same Hashem who is carrying out the Din vis-a-vis Eli is the same Hashem who is now leaving Eli and now joining together with Shmuel. He's the new Golda Hadar. And that's exactly this transfer of leadership. He is Vayigdal Shmuel. Now Shmuel is in his own. Now he's got his potential. Now we won't see him anymore as Stam the Talmud of Eli. He is Vayigdal Shmuel. And now Hashem HaYaimo, Hashem is together with him. Not even Ito, which is a lower level. Hashem HaYaimo was with him. That means what? The Nevuah is going to keep coming. He is now a Navi Hashem. It wasn't a one time and that's it. Hashem was with him. And Shmuel did not cast any of his words to the ground. What exactly does that mean? Writes the Radak and writes the Alshich that he wasn't mispatel whatever Hashem told him. He fulfilled every single thing that Hashem told him. And not just that. It's such a power. As a Navi, this very idea, whatever words came out of Shmuel's mouth, came true. Whatever he said came true, and that's the Vart, even when he wasn't acting as the Navi to convey the word of Hashem. That's the idea. Whatever came out, that's it. We're gonna see that right now. Pasachov, excellent. So what do we see? The Radak says, and not only when Hashem told him was Imekayim, the Radak writes, Afilu Advarm Shahayomer Shalobaruch Nevuah. And that's how they knew that Moshe, that Shmuel was a great person. How do they know? Because not only did he convey Nevuah, but he was so great, and that's the new Chiddush. Shmuel became a greater Navi. People might say, and that's why I need the Navi to point this out. People might say, okay, the torch has been passed on. Eli was the Navi Hashem, and now there's a new Navi Hashem. It's not enough. The Navi is about to tell us, Shmuel is about to tell, he became much greater than Eli. He became greater than what? That's what the Radak and Alshich want to point out. Eli might have been a Navi who conveyed whatever Hashem gave him. Shmuel will be mikol devarv, even when it wasn't acting as the Navi Hashem, as the Shliach Hashem. Every word that came out of Shmuel's mouth was coming true. All the brokas that he gave, and that's something that people recognize. This is someone unique. This is someone different. And that's why we'll now encounter a new description that we did not witness in conjunction to his Rebbe, Eli. He became greater than Eli. Vayeda Kol Yisrael. Everybody knew. Not everyone believed. Kol Yisrael. Everyone from Dan ad Be'er Sheva. Atzin from the south. And everyone in Kol Yisrael at the time knew. Ki Neman Shmuel the Navi Lashem. Wow, where else did we see this? The Chol Beisi Neman only by Moshe the Anabal Oyscha. And that's exactly what we want to bring out. Shmuel wasn't just Eli all over again. Shmuel was a Navi who was a Ein the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody knew Moshe because everybody saw it. What did God tell us at our Sinai? We witnessed Moshe conversing with God. Put him upon it. And what does the Torah say? The God Yamin Liolam. Everybody's going to know you. So to over here, call Yisrael Ki Neman. He's the ever faithful servant. He's like Shmoshe all over again. He is a Navi LaHashem. Oh, for Hashem, and we close Paragimel. Vayosef Hashem leiro b'shilo. Kenigla Hashem el Shmuel b'shilo b'dvar Hashem. What happened? Hashem continued to appear in Shilo. Even though they lost Eli, they're going to lose Shilo eventually. It's going to happen. And we're going to get to Parag Dalet, etc. But right now, God is appearing. And now, as Rashi says, based on the Midrash Shmuel, what does it mean? We saw already earlier, Pasuk Aleph, that dvar Hashem haya yokar b'yom ha'mehem. It was very rare. By Shmuel being so special, he brought the Nevuah to other people as well. And now what happened? Ki nigla Hashem Shmuel b'shilu b'dvar Hashem. As Rashi says, me'ata b'shvil Shmuel, nigla v'shona v'hirgil l'higalos. Now God's vision came. Where else did we see such a concept? By Moshe Rabbeinu. What happened by Moshe? I don't want to be the only Navi. When you sprinkle your Nevuah on me, sprinkle it onto the Shivim Zekena. There was so much sprinkle now onto Shmuel, that now the Dvar Hashem was appearing like never before, even something that they never encountered in the days of Eli. That's what happened because of Shmuel. And Met Hashem, we'll see you next week. We'll talk about Siv and Akri. Why is Beshila with the Hay and then Shiloh's with the Vav? What's going on over there? And what's this idea of revealing himself to Shmuel, the Shiloh with the Devar Hashem? We'll continue next week, closing again Parag Gimel and starting a new parak. Have an amazing day and a great rest of the week ahead of me. That's only Moshe Rabbeinu. That's only Moshe. What did we read in the beginning of Yeshua?